Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Steltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, I have been focusing my attention on Li Fengzhenhua, the king's daughters, that are truly the founding mothers of Quebec, for sure, Canada, and North America. I'm trying to take each and every Fengzhenhua and kind of give her a little bit of attention, if you will, and put her name in the spotlight. So many of these women are forgotten because they're, you know, they're merged into the actual husbands that they married. So I wanted to really feature them and really promote that their contributions. Just want to let you know that if you are interested in this subject, you can have a look at my website, Have Roots Will Travel. And I have featured all of the ones I've done prior to this. There's a link and everything for you to have a look at, and you can research your particular ancestors on there. I'm intent right now. We're on number 85, and I'm intent on doing all 700 of them. So at some point, I will get to your Fengzhenhua. But in the meantime, if you have you know, a suggestion, please feel free to email me at lisa@haveroutswilltravel.com, or alternatively put it on put it down here in the comments below. You can also email me on my Facebook page or message me. All of the above, I try to respond as quickly as possible. I thank you as well for paying attention to this video. And also, if you want, I'd love for you to subscribe and click on that notifications alert so that you can get alerted when I post new content, which right now is about twice a week. So with that, let's get started. Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, was a program begun in 1663 by the intendant Jean Talon. I produced a video early on called the Program 2.0, in which I go into the ins and outs. Have a look at that. It will definitely give you a kind of a bird's eye view of what your ancestor would have gone through on her way here to New France and what she would have encountered once she arrived. So I would heartily recommend, if this is something you want to research a little bit more, to have a look at that video as well. Let's find out who is number 85. Our lady this episode is Jeanne Boucault, and she is a viewer request. I do not have her in any of my other files. So let's get to know Jeanne a little bit better. So she was born in 1651 in the Faubourg Saint-Germain, Paris, in Paris, France, which is found in the 6th arrondissement. As you remember, the 6th arrondissement, Paris is always designed as a circle. I've circled that first on that left-hand side. You can see the red circle there where it shows you where the 6th arrondissement is. It's also called Le Luxembourg because it was at one time the seat of the Senate, and the garden is there. It's situated on the rive gauche of the River Seine. It includes world-famous institutions and monuments. It really is a cultural mecca in terms of, you know, Paris, and it is very historic as well. And it's well known for the cafe culture, and all of the great thinkers kind of hung out there as well. So it's got really, probably she comes from a place where it's very culturally diverse, and also even during that time. And it is also one of the richest, now it's one of the richest areas in terms of the average income. It's very intellectual. You can see the church where she would have been baptized, Saint-Germain. She absolutely comes from one of the most, I would say, prestigious areas of Paris. Like so many other filles du roi, upon her father's death, she would embark as a fille du roi, and she would arrive on La Nouvelle-France on a ship bound for Quebec and arrived July 3rd, 1668. She carried with her about 300 pounds dowry. Jeanne, however, had a secret. On that ship, she was obviously pregnant, and she would give birth to a son named Jacques, on October 26th, that son would die at 5 weeks of age. So it's possible that she came to New France. Most women could not, you could not be a fille du roi if you were pregnant. Somehow she managed to conceal that, I would imagine. And so she was able to embark on the program and come away, but she did eventually have to give birth. So she was probably about, if she gave birth in October, she would have been about 4 or 5 months pregnant on that. Can you imagine being pregnant and being on that boat? Just amazing, very strong woman. Eventually, she would select a gentleman. His name was Louis Coulombe, and he was born in 1641 in the town of Le Neubourg, Normandy. His father's name was Jacques Coulombe, and his mother's name was Roline de Rouillot. Le Neubourg played an important role in Norman history. Its fortress, built around the year 1000, was stormed by Henri Boucler, and the King of England, and the fourth son of William the Conqueror. On his death in 1135, the Norman lords met at the Chateau du Neubourg to elect the new King of England, Étienne de Blois. In 1160, the marriage of Marguerite de France, who was the daughter of Louis VII, with Henri Courmantel, the son of the King of England, was celebrated. Then Philippe Auguste, King of France, seized Normandy, and during this war, Le Neubourg was ravaged in 1198. Now, you can imagine what kind of a place has this kind of history. I wanted to share it with you only because, I mean, the richness of it, even when he was living there, Louis Coulombe, he would have known, you know, obviously the history of this place and all of the you know, the background to his life, and just a very, very interesting place to come from. Jeanne and Louis were married on September 30th, 1670, on Ile d'Orléans. And you can kind of see, like, she gave birth in 1668, so 2 years it took. Don't know what she was doing, whether she was stayed with the nuns or whether she got a, you know, some sort of, was an indentured servant. Not sure what happened during those 2 years. The family would settle on Ile d'Orléans. Ile d'Orléans is located in the St. Lawrence River. We have examined Ile d'Orléans so many times. It's about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. It's actually been described as kind of a microcosm of traditional Quebec and the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Now, the name Ile d'Orléans was given in honor of the second son of King Francis I. His son, Henri II, was actually the Duke of Orléans, and the island became Ile d'Orléans in his honor. But the island was also known in different times as Grande-Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent for certain periods. So you need to be aware, if this is your heritage, you may stumble across documents that have those names and be confused. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And so you can see the map that I illustrate here, just to kind of give you the how close to Quebec City it is. And also wanted to point out that Ile d'Orléans is divided into 6 different sections, or little townships, if you will. So you want to make sure that if your family came from Saint-Pierre or Saint-Patrick, Saint-Famille, you want to know where on the island they are. Okay, so that kind of gives you, even though it's a very small place, it's further subdivided. And these two bottom pictures are kind of like the Ile d'Orléans of today, very much a, you know, picturesque place, very green, obviously during the summer. And they still have much of the old style. I believe this particular picture is of a cheese making factory. So it's very much old and kind of, you know, stopped in time. Point to the 1681 census that I clipped for you. Louis Coulombe is listed as 40 years old. His wife Jeanne is 30. Their children, Nicolas, Marie, Jeanne, there are 2 Jeannes, which I find interesting. We'll explore that in a minute. And Louise, they have 2 goats and 6 Kaffa Avala. So they have 6 acres, about 4 to 5 acres of land. End up having 12 children. Let's explore their descendants. So we have Nicolas, who married Anne Mayu, but did not have any children, and he died at a very young age of 23. Marie-Marthe married Pierre Labrec and had 6 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean married Jeanne Bellet and had 4 children. He then further married Marie-Jeanne de Blas and had 3 children, 2 of whom made it to adulthood. Jeanne, now you see how there was a Jean and a Jeanne, and that's why there was 2 Jeannes in that 1681. She married Charles Paquet and had 13 children, 10 of whom made it to adulthood. Louise would actually become a nun with the Augustine nuns, a sisterhood there. Marguerite would marry François Bouvet and have 4 children, all of whom made it. Louis married Hélène Paulet and had 8 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Charles and Catherine would die in infancy. The second Charles was born in 1688, but that is all the information I have. Eugenic married Claude Bernard, but does not seem to have had any children. And Catherine married Pierre Prudhomme and had 1 child who made it to adulthood. So this is one of the most tragic that I have seen in all of the episodes I've done thus far. On January 23rd, 1696, our heroine, Jeanne, was found frozen to death on the banks of the river at Beauport. I'm not sure why she was there, but this is where she was found. Presumably, maybe she floated. I'm not really sure what the, how she ended up there. So Jeanne's life would come to an end, and this is the death record, and where it lists that she was found frozen and on the river drowned, and this is where she is buried. Just a tragic, tragic end. Louis would go on to live another 24 years, but he did not remarry. He died on the 30th of November, 1720, and he is also buried at Saint-Laurent on Île d'Orléans. But at least they have a final tribute, and they are listed on the monument of Île d'Orléans. We have Louis Coulombe and Jeanne Bucco. That is their final final tribute, if you will, that they were among the pioneer families, the founding families of Île d'Orléans. So they are remembered. Are some of the resources I use, La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan. I'm a member. I'm also the membership chairperson. I would urge you to have a look at the website. If interested, please, we'd love to have you join us. We've been in existence since 1994, so we've proven the test of time. And one of the other resources I've begun to use is Filles du Roi Descendants, which is on Facebook, and it's a private group. And they have about 5,000 people, so have a look at that as well. And then we have as well Migration, which is a website that I use frequently just to confirm details and get more information. These people who have created this website out of love, and it's truly a labor of love. It's just an amazing website filled with everything you could possibly want to know about Les Filles du Roi and the Carignan soldiers and the ships and all of the above. There's pictures, there's all kinds of things. So have a look at that for sure. The story of Jeanne Bucco really has touched my heart because, I mean, not only was she, obviously an unwed mother when she arrived in New France, she managed to carve out, a life on Île d'Orléans, become one of the founding families, and then would meet a tragic end on the river. It's one of those histories that you just wonder what happened. So for that and for her contribution to not only Île d'Orléans, but also Quebec, and to my viewer, who is a descendant of this remarkable woman and what she endured, we thank her and we thank her contribution. And until we see you on episode number 86, I will bid you adieu and au revoir.